Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. Our guest today is Assemblyman John McDonald, who represents the Albany area. And John will be talking about the Vito Lopez situation. Hi, John. How's everything going? Are you swamped with stuff?
Cynthia, it's good to talk to you. It is a hectic day. We've been doing a couple interviews today, and I'm letting my feelings know about the whole Vito Lopez situation, as you call it, which is very disturbing. It's very upsetting.
Now, two assemblywomen have called for his resignation: Ellen Jaffe, and Deborah Glick. And in today's Times Union, Cuomo is calling for his resignation.
Yeah, well, the list is getting longer, and uh-huh. I joined that list along with many of my other colleagues all around New York State. It's very upsetting. I took the time, which took a considerable amount of time, to review the Jacob report, and the situations described are extremely embarrassing and very uncomfortable for the employees that were impacted, and it's actions that we just cannot tolerate in any legislative body, let alone the New York State Assembly.
Now, how long do you think this has been going on?
You know, I will say this. I've only been here for 4.5 months. This all was before I got here.
No. How long have the allegations date back
well over a year or two. Back into 2011 and 2012, and you know, it's a very disturbing pattern, and it's something that he has to be held accountable to, one way or the other. No individual, male or female, should be subjected to that type of activity or harassment in the workplace. Period. The end.
For our listeners, what does JCOP stand for, and what does it do?
Well, JCOP is the new judicial ethics board that was put in place. It was agreed to upon the legislature and the governor's office. The governor, you know, has appointed the leadership, but there's also other individuals appointed to it, of which I do not know all of them. But it's supposed to have its own investigative powers, which it exercised. I think it has brought to light other issues that in the past may not have been brought to light, and I think that's a good step in the right direction. You know, the difficult part when you are creating laws and creating commissions, you're supposed to create them with the best intention of restoring or protecting the public integrity. The challenge with these types of commissions is you can't imagine every circumstance possible. And once you read the Jacob report, you sit there and say, oh my gosh, this situation is a script that you couldn't even written if you dreamt it. It's just bizarre. Very bizarre.
Now, there was a settlement with two former employees,
mm-hmm.
and the DA of Staten Island said he would not bring charges against Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a settlement involved, how come all of a sudden this issue blew up again?
Well, the report is now finally available for public inspection. That's been something that has been delayed because the district attorney had requested that delay because he was doing his own investigation to see if there was any charges of criminal nature. Now that he has closed his case, for lack of a better term, the Jacob report was going to be released this week one way or the other. I think we all knew this was going to be coming to a head. We just didn't know exactly what day. And here we are. And now it's unfortunately another black mark on the Capitol and the legislative process. And we need to keep focusing on, first of all, we need to expel Vito Lopez. You know, he's agreed to resign as of June 20th, but quite frankly, we need to expel him. We need to move on. I'm glad that the Speaker now, and true to his word, he said once the reports are available and we can talk about it publicly, we will take action. We are taking action as soon as this Monday to move forward and try to expel Vito Lopez. As you know, he says he's resigning June 20th, which, as far as I'm concerned, is too late.
Nobody has a crystal ball. None of us do. But I read that Mr. Lopez is going to be running for the New York City Council, and he thinks he'll be victorious in that. How do you feel about the Assemblyman running for a different office when he's under a cloud?
You know, that's the decision he has to make. I have always been on this whole situation with Vito because it's been a discussion point since I was elected into office. Have marveled at the fact that over 75% of the electorate in his district voted for him, knowing all of the issues that he had had. So, you know, at the end of the day, the public does have a right to a vote. They voted to send him back to Albany, warts and all. You know, we can only go so far, but we are going to go further and try to expel him, which is a very big step. Expulsion of an elected official without any criminal charges. I mean, he's violated public officer's law, but there's no criminal charges that I'm aware of. It's a lift. It's walking into uncharted territory. It was like that a couple of years ago at Hiram Montserrat, and it'll be like it with Vito. That being said, if he wants to run for New York City Council, he can run for dog catcher, as far as I'm concerned. He can do whatever he wants. It's America. You still have that right. And oddly enough, at this point, he hasn't done anything that rises to the level of a misdemeanor or a felony.
In the New York Daily News today, they said that the members are... that members would not take an active role. Oh, and the New York Daily News said Silva would not take an active role in Lopez's ouster. And there has been a number of commentators, one of which is up here, who fault Speaker Silva for this and is calling the local legislators, meaning you and Assemblywoman Fahey, cowards because of this act. What's your feeling about that?
Well, a couple of things. In regards to the local radio talk show host, first of all, pick up the phone and call me, and I'll tell you exactly how I feel. You don't need to call me a coward. Just call me, and I'll let you know how I feel. That being said, in regards to this ouster of the speaker, you know, the speaker doesn't condone this behavior. He doesn't encourage it. If anything, he strongly discourages it. We've had proper training. Unfortunately, some people don't attend training or don't know how to control themselves. Like in anything else in this world, there's always two sides to every story. This whole issue was examined and examined very thoroughly. Were there some mistakes made along the way, possibly, in regards to redirecting us to the Legislative Ethics Committee earlier on? Yeah, there were some mistakes. Mistakes were made. They were not done of a criminal nature. I don't believe they were done of any reason for inappropriate behavior. It was mistakes were made. And don't forget, it was during the advent of Jacob, which created a whole new mechanism for dealing with these type of issues. So, some mistakes were made. That's life. It's unfortunate. We move on. At the same token, you know, the speaker can have his own opinion about things. He also has to understands his conference, understands what the temperature is. And I was not here a year ago when the settlement was put into place. Once again, confidential nature to protect the innocence of those individuals who were complainants. That being said, I can't tell you what the temperature was of the body, if they would support it or not. The speaker is very careful about putting members in a very bad position on issues when they know they're not supportive of it. And maybe that's the temperature back then. Maybe it's not. I do not know. I just don't know. I can tell you this. From my short term here, the speaker has been wonderful to deal with. Very straightforward and honest. He allows members very clearly to vote whatever way they would like. And I have not seen any evidence of any recrimination or any reason not to just vote your conscience in many instances. Did the speaker admit that a mistake was made in regards to the process? He did. Has anybody found any wrongdoing? Absolutely not. And that comes from the district attorney in Staten Island as well, and Jacob. And therefore, you know what, we look upon these mistakes, but let's not minimize what the true issue was here, and it's the actions of Eva Lopez.
A number of years ago, there was a coup against the speaker,
mm-hmm.
and the speaker prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he will prevail now?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay.
I think, you know, the conference is... the speaker is probably one of the most knowledgeable people in the Capitol on the whole process. And, you know, with that, we've had 3 on-time budgets in the last 3 years. We have put forth and passed some very good legislation to move our state forward. And I find him to be very fair and direct and honest with me. And that's what you like to see in a leader. And I think he's done a good job in that aspect. And I have not heard any grumblings from my colleagues about the speaker's leadership.
One of the names that I've mentioned in reading about this issue is David Soares. What's David Soares' role in all this?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
David is a district attorney in Albany. If this harassment was occurring in Albany, I guess one would argue he would have investigatory abilities. However, it seems as if most of the focus is in Staten Island, which is, or not in Staten, well, in Brooklyn, where Vito's office is.
Okay.
So I think that's where the energy was spent.
Okay. Now, in the final minutes that we have left, what will be happening for the rest of the session? What do you foresee?
Well, it's an interesting discussion. I imagine this coming Monday, when everyone's back in town, we will still be talking about Vito Lopez until that resolution comes and goes. I'm hoping we get more focused on some other opportunities. Let's
uh-huh.
talk about jobs. There's a jobs agenda the governor wants to push, which I want to be supportive of. We have a whole new... outlook going on right now that's unfolding in front of us in regards to casino gambling. That dialogue needs to happen, specifically on where and when, if it's going to happen. You know, there's the woman's agenda, which we've in the assembly have approved 9 out of 10 points already. There's still indecision on what the 10th component, the Reproductive Health Act, is actually going to
uh-huh.
be. And that needs to be thoroughly fleshed out. And there's also, you know, and everyone focuses on the top 3 or 4, but there are also hundreds of important local government pieces of legislation that need to be done, plain and simple. They need to be done in order for these governments to continue to operate or to enjoy whatever benefits they have, the whole nine yards. That needs to be brought up and needs to be addressed. So,
do you find that your transition from mayor to state legislature, do you feel a lot? Is the role very different?
It is different. It's. I always joke that when you're a mayor, you set the agenda. When you're a legislator, they send you the agenda. That being said, you know, I'm working awfully hard to understand the process, to become greater educated on the issues. You know, once again, the local government, you only deal with certain issues, and after a while, they get to be pretty routine. Here, legislation is very diversified, which reflects our state and all of its people it represents. So we, for myself, it's been an extremely large learning curve. I'm keeping pace, and running in place in many instances, but it's been exciting. Exposed to a lot of new people, a lot of new issues, and we're resolving some along the way.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Assemblyman McDonald. I appreciate the interview. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Focus on Albany. Bye.
Bye-bye.